Hey, today I'm so excited and privileged and blessed of the Lord to be able to be standing in front of you to be sharing a message which is on my heart. The theme of our message today is another time. Shall we repeat that? Another time. One more time. Again. Amen. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we look at situations in life and we're thinking, another time, another time. Now, a survey conducted in America in the last few years tells us that 98% of those surveyed failed to act on what they knew is the right thing to do at a specific time in their lives. Instead, they said, another time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, can you turn to Proverbs chapter 6 with me? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 for me. And if you did, this is what it says in the King James, New King James Version. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and poverty will come upon you like a thief, and your need will be like an armed man. You see, when somebody is an armed man, an armed robber, the person is desperate for something. That's why they come with guns to frighten you, so they can get what they want. A little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty will come upon you. How many times have we sat down and postpone what we know we ought to do, what we know is the right thing to do, what we know at the opportune time to do it, and we say, another time, another time. You see, Solomon, when he wrote this poetry, he wrote it to teach us to learn from nature. That nature knows how to organize itself. Nature had to know how to plan and do things at the right time. In fact, a few preceding verses, it tells us to learn from the ant. Because when ant sees the sun, it knows that this is the time to go and gather food. And it will go and do so. And when winter comes, the ant knows that he cannot get out because it's too cold. He had no coat to wear like we have coat to wear. Had no heater like we have heaters in our homes. And therefore, the ant will prepare for the future. But then, we human beings amazingly, let me sleep a little bit. Let me postpone it a little bit. Let me wait another time. And the Bible says that poverty will come upon us, will spring upon us, and our need will be like an armed robber. This phrase has robbed many people of success, peace, money, services to God, and salvation. Another time is a name for procrastination. Have you heard that big word before? Procrastination. We all have experienced procrastination in our lives, haven't we? I have done a lot. I remember when I was a student, when I knew how to do my coursework or homework, I'll wait. I said, oh, another time. I'll do it another time. Then the time that I realized time actually is not waiting for me. Time is ticking on until I realize that I have that short moment to do it. Then I start panicking. And I manage to cobble something. And sometimes the good marks that I'm supposed to get, I don't get as good as I will get, I rob myself of something good because of another time, because of procrastination, another time, another time. Sometimes we have good reasons for our inaction, but often it is because of laziness. Yes, it is because of laziness. That's why we don't do things. Which of you wouldn't love to wake up in the morning and pray until kingdom come in your home? Which of you will not wait? Will not wait till and the night when you go home and you lift holy hands and say, God, I'm going to sleep right now. I want your angels to be with me. I want to have a dream about the supernatural. I want to have a dream about the business that I want it to happen the next day. I've been struggling. I have no vision. But at this time, give me a vision in my dream. How many of you would not like to do that? And yet your eyes get glazed and in your mind you say, another time. Another time. Then you go and sleep and get into snoreland that I do sometimes. I don't know if I always do, probably my kids will tell you. But I hear I snore. I don't know, but I'm sure I do. So what we're saying is that we postpone these amazing opportunities that we have because we are lazy. Because we cannot spare that little time. It is human nature to put things off. But because of our inaction, at the time when something ought to be done is what we would have gained had we utilized the opportunities before us at that time. Are you with me? Good. So it is easy for most of us when faced with a task to put it off till tomorrow. That's another word for another time. Tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow. Bramwell, how many times you said that? I will do it tomorrow. I've said 1,000 times, I will do it tomorrow. And you see, the next day comes and there is tomorrow. So it looks like tomorrow never comes. Good Lord. Solomon was wise, isn't he? Said tomorrow never comes. And then tomorrow, as if you're catching tomorrow, and tomorrow moves forward another day. Another time. Especially when the task facing us is difficult to achieve, but rather go for the easier option of another time. You see, sometimes I look at things that I have to do and I'm thinking I'm so smart, I'm prioritizing them, and I go for the easier ones first. There's always a sense of achievement that you've done something, but what really ought to be done is that difficult one. But we say we wait till another time. Procrastination is the word. Another time. Tomorrow is the word. Another time. Tomorrow is the most dangerous word because of its ability to rob dreamers of dreams. It has robbed many students of their educational opportunities and fathers of their relationship with their children. More than anything, it has kept more people from coming to Christ and finding salvation than any other word in the dictionary. Tomorrow, another time, another time. But I tell you what, the word that Jesus Christ is excited about, which we see time and time again, and even God says it, is the word today. Today means now. Today means soon. Today means opportune time. Are you with me? Exactly. Today. Today is the word that is dear to the heart of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, today or now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, today we're going to talk about a couple. The man is a governor of Judea. And the wife is Drusilla. The man is also a judge of the people. And I hear the wife was beautiful. She takes so much time to do her makeup. It sounds like something I know. What are you laughing at? Okay. Well, I know you, don't I? So here we are. Now, this couple had an encounter with Paul. But when the time came that they had to make a vital decision, they said, I will do it tomorrow. Another time they said, we'll do it another time. And that other time never came. We will come back to Felix and Drusilla. So Felix and his wife Drusilla missed the opportunity for salvation because of procrastination. Through them, we will discover the dangers of procrastination and why we have to stamp it out in our lives, which is the subject of our preach today. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what do we say another time? You'll be robbed of opportunity for service if you continue believing in him. If we have to personify another time. If you continue to believe in him or her, if we have to personify another time. If you believe in them, your faith is in another time, it will rob you of opportunities for service. And I would like us to look at the passage in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. I want you to open your Bible. That is why I'm actually going in there to have a look. Now, this was the time that Jesus Christ was having an encounter with his disciples. It says now, it's the Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But the person said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me first go and bid farewell to my family and those who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When I look at this, I'm thinking, this is harsh. My father dead and I ain't going to bury him and have to come and follow you? Who's going to bury my father? The council? Or strangers? I mean, I'm in a home and I have a family and he said, come and follow me. And I know you, Jesus, you have nowhere to lay your head. You just a, what's the word for? A nomad is one word, yes? And the word is a traveler. We know you are a traveler. Anytime you have your carriage or whatever you just sleep in and you want us to follow, I have a family. I live in a real home. Let me go and say thank you and let me say, look, I'm going to follow this man. But Jesus said, those things, you don't have to do them. Really? He didn't mean that. What he's literally saying, and Jesus was once talking to his followers, and what he's saying is that the essence of my word is to, let me read it from the screen. The essence of his word does not mean that he's not interested in us and what we do. He's not saying it's not relevant in our lives or things of ultimate concern are not important. But Jesus is pointing to the fact that we postpone what we had to do at an opportune time and miss out on what is necessary at the time that it ought to be done. It is always easy to think of lots of reasons why we cannot respond to the call of God in our lives. Once we take care of all those details, we think we will have time to follow God. But most of the time, we can't. How many times that we leave in home and we're thinking, okay, let me clean the house before I come. There's nothing wrong with doing that. How many of us will say, okay, let me, do all my ironing for the week before I come. Nothing wrong in doing that. Wash my car before I come. Nothing wrong in doing that. And you end up, one, getting late to worship the King of Kings. And I've always cast this vision for you. Anyone going to meet the queen in the palace, that person ought to be there before the queen comes. Otherwise, it is disrespectful. They will shut the door. They will not let you come. And if you're there before the queen comes, you never know. She might actually make you a knight or a dame or a member of the British Empire or something. You ought to be there before the King of Kings comes. But always is another time. You see, another time finds us something to do. Another time always put things in our way. So we get busy. We get busy. We get busy. And what we ought to be doing, we never do them. Has that happened to you before? It happens to me all the time. Another time. Another time gives you excuse. And you always have an excuse. You know what? Another time actually makes you a liar. Because you have to find something to explain why you haven't done what you haven't done. Does that make sense? It's robbing you of service, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is calling us to serve him. And these group of people, they had other priorities. But I am sure that they could do them with the genius of the end. Now, another passage which I would like you to refer to, I will not read them for time. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 to 46. It's the story that Jesus Christ knew that he was going to die. It was the hour of agony. Imagine knowing that there's a death sentence hanging on you. There's nothing that you can do. And you know that they've set up a time. They said, we are going to hang you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you have to go through. And in America, they have a nice thing to do. They give you your last meal and they still kill you. What's the point? Here we are. Jesus Christ, at a critical time in his life, he called his disciples that, please, come with me. Jesus, in his hour of need, took Peter and two sons of Zebedee to the Garden of Gethsemane to stand with him in prayer. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Verse 38. Jesus telling his friends, his mate, I am distressed. I'm deeply hurt. I'm going to die. I feel weak at the knees. But come alongside me and stand with me and pray with me. At least to give me some encouragement and some strength. How many times some people have come to you and said, pray for me, or pray with me, and say, hey, brother and sister, I'll pray for you. As soon as you've had your cup of tea, we thank God for hospitality people, they make it so good. And you drink it, and you go out of the door, and you forget to pray for that person. You see, when the time the person told you that, pray for me, you had absolutely no reason, no understanding, or no understanding why the person is saying that. Maybe they would tell you, but the way they feel inside, they're saying, I'm at a point of need and I want you to stand with me and I want you to help me out. You are offering a divine service for that person when you agree to do something and come alongside that person. But at that time, the disciples decided to sleep. Three times Jesus Christ came, and when he came, they were sleeping. I said, are you sleeping, guys? Don't you care that I am agonizing in my inside? Don't you care that I'm an agonizing in my whole being, in my soul is distressed? Don't you care? And I'm sure they can wipe their face and say, you know what, this time we're not going to sleep again. Give us some cold water. They probably splash some cold water on their faces. And as soon as Jesus Christ, when they look around, where is he? Oh, we can't find him. Then they turn around and slept again. Second time he came and they were sleeping. Third time he came and said, can you even wait for a few minutes? That's the hour of desperation. Can't you even wait for a few minutes? And for them, hey, your prayer will be another time. Let us sleep, and when we wake up, we will pray. And these disciples never had that opportunity to pray and stand with Jesus Christ in prayer ever in their lives. They rather spend the rest of their times praying to him to help them. Isn't this amazing? But because he's a God of glory, he always hears them. Wouldn't it have been amazing that whatever God was telling Jesus Christ, they would have had it too? Whatever blessing God was putting on Jesus Christ, they would have had it too. They missed that opportunity to have a service unto our Lord. At a critical time that we had to respond to God, we postpone it and choose another time, which never comes back. And that was what the disciples did. How often do we wait and postpone what we need to do and lose that opportunity to serve him? Don't let anything stand in the way of following the Holy Spirit's leading in matters of spiritual urgency, whether in your life or the life of another person. Life is too precious and the consequences too eternal to do anything less than to obey when you have the chance to do so. Shall we say amen? You see, another time can help us postpone things for tomorrow, and that will keep you from your success. You see, if you are the person who procrastinates a lot, then you are selling yourself short of success in life. Not acting on what you know to do at an opportune time, but leaving it to another time robs you of opportunity to succeed in life. There's one preacher that I listen to him quite often. He comes on Premier Christian Radio at 6:30. His name is Charles Swindoll. He comes in Monday to Friday. Lovely American old man. And he's an amazing preacher. He described procrastination or another time in a personified format. And he even see him as a human being. And I thought I should read or quote something from him. It says this: procrastination comes out a winner every time. He can out-talk any student when it comes to homework or coursework. He can outthink any executive or manager when it comes to correspondence, not to answer them. He can outwork any housewife when it comes to vacuuming or doing the house chores. He can outlast any parent when it comes to discipline. He can outsmart any salesman when it comes to selling. He has one basic product and he centers all his energies toward that single goal. And that goal is defeat. Another time, procrastination, its main goal in your life is to defeat you, rob you of your success. By the sheer genius of suggestion, he becomes the epitome of what he destroys: success. You see, so if you take procrastination or another time as a human being, he's always suggesting to you, why don't you wait till another time? Why don't you wait till another time? Come to church the week today, tomorrow come, or don't. God will wait for you another time. But God has actually put in your DNA a 24-hour code to worship him. And this he will not negotiate with anybody. The Israelites went into the people of Judah went into exile for 70 years for that reason, because they did not set time aside to worship their God when they had to. And when they came back, you can check it out from Nehemiah chapter 10. When they came back, four things they said, but one of them, which I can rehearse them to you, one of them says that, look, we will actually volunteer to put on ourselves and determine to read the word of God and obey it every day. 2, we will not give our daughters and our sons in marriage to the pagan nations around. 3, we will not buy any produce from people who are traders and who come and sell them on holy days, but we will set it aside to worship you. The 4th one is they put it upon themselves. They said, we will not neglect the house of the Lord, but we will offer, a tenth of a shekel to make sure that the house of God is catered for. They said, we will give our money to God. They were touched so much by the 70 years experience and how their lives were changed and the suffering that they went through and the threat that they had at the hands of Haman and the people in Persia. They were so traumatized that even at that point, their Jewish language had been changed and the language of the exiled people became Aramaic. So they spoke a different language from what they knew for the rest of their lives. How humbling that was. And they said, we will not let anything take the holy days away from us. And brothers and sisters, I have resolved, like they did, never to let any day take the holy day away from me. Thank you, my sister. And I want to challenge you that when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, look, I've given you the light and the moon and the stars. And this should be to remind you of holy days, holy seasons, time to worship our God. So today we thank God that we have the sun. So why aren't you worshiping God? In the night we have the stars, we have the moon. So why aren't you worshiping God? What excuse have you got? You see, I like quoting scripture because that makes me bold and that makes me bullish because I know that this is the word of God. I believe in it. It's either you believe it or you don't. If you believe, it will do you good. Not because I say so, but God says so. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is what God says so. So I will not. And I thank God that me, like Joshua chapter 24, we have said, I for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Shall we say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Shall we say it again? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to declare these things so that it will be true for you guys. Anything other than that is unscriptural. Anything other than that is ungodly. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You and your household. That is Acts 16:31. And Exodus chapter 12, he said, look, a lamb for a household. If your house is too small, make sure you invite your neighbors so that they will participate in it. So that they will come under the blood of Jesus. They will have the Passover. And that's exactly what God is saying, that bring a friend Sunday, bring somebody. Don't only be you who is be saved. Let everybody who is your neighbor, everybody who's your friend, anybody whom you care about, make sure that you bring them under the blood of Jesus so they can be saved, so that they can also rush on. They don't have to be Jewish. They don't have to be South Street people. They can be people living in Egypt. They can be people who are Kenizzites, who are Canaanites, who are literally bad guys, but somehow God is going to save you and bring it to his people, and God is going to reprofile your genealogy. He's going to reprofile your history and make you a leader in the house of his God. You know what? I'm talking about Caleb. Caleb was not a Jew. Caleb was not an Egyptian. He was in Egypt, and he was one of the people. When he saw the blood of the lamb being applied, he said, you know what? Hey, his neighbor said, come along, Caleb. And Caleb followed that. And Caleb now eventually became a leader of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't you do this, my brother, my sister? As for me and my house, who serve the Lord. But what do? We allow another time to rob us of that. If we cannot take action when it is thrust upon us, we are doomed to defeat and failure. Any businessman or salesman will tell you that the art of succeeding is knowing what to do and when to do it. And don't do it at a moment. Robs you of great opportunities. Most important of all, education is to make you to do the things that you have to do when it has to be done. You can never pass your examinations when you don't study at the right time, prepare at the right time and get ready into the exam room at the right time. Otherwise, you go and it doesn't work for you. I know a friend of mine, he was so brilliant when I was studying as a student. And this guy was in a medical school. He was so smart. He has a mind like a photocopy machine. And he only had to look at the book and he remembered everything. And I'm thinking some of us are struggling. The guy is so good. And this guy, anytime that we are struggling and prepping and doing things in the night, he just go up. Not because he went around dancing and having fun. Has nothing to do with that. But he said, another time. Another time. Now the exam time came. The guy failed so much. It's unbelievable. He was so shocked and so traumatized. 2 months he couldn't even look at a book and look at because he was so good. We encouraged him. He gathered his strength. And he said, I'll do it. So it was coming up again. He tried his exam the second time. He could not do it. And he went out of medical school. I don't know what he came up with. I don't know. From there on, we just lost track of him. I pray that he's doing something meaningful by this time because he was a bright guy. But the problem and the issue that was with him is that a guy was good, but always for him was another time. Hallelujah. You see, he knew he could do it, so he waited till another time. And another time never came. So when the other time came, he could not do it because tomorrow has moved on. And he had to catch up. It was too late to catch up. Now, keeping a to-do list is great for many people. It gives a sense of achievement. But it is not, but it is doing it when it ought to be done that will make you successful. The person who is willing to do the hardest job when it has to be done is on the road to success. Another time makes us miss such great opportunities. It robs us opportunities of ministry. Putting yourself, as it were, putting things off deny us of the opportunity to minister to others. And I'll tell you why. I have a personal experience 12 years ago. And that was about one of my brothers. At the time, he lived in Oklahoma City in America. I visited him a few times in my life. Even just before I got married, I just went to visit him. And I remember his wife gave me some crazy album. I still use it, and that became my wedding album. I don't want you to see it because I look so handsome with some mustache and some goatee. Anyway, let me move on quickly. Bramo, you don't want to see it. So here we are. Now, the subject of my message, that it robs of ministry opportunities, that I had a strong urge to go and visit my brother. And any time that I need to go, I pick up the phone and I put it down. And I said, another time. And a year will come and something tells me, Gideon, go and visit your brother. And I look at him thinking, I have a wife. I have 2 daughters. Then I calculate the money and I say, another time. It wasn't that I couldn't afford it. At one point, somebody in this church actually called me and said, Gideon, for God's sake, I haven't seen you have any overseas holidays for a long time. The person wrote a check of £4,000 and gave it to me and said, go on holidays for God's sake. I took the money and it was another time. I managed to go to a holiday, but I didn't go where he asked me where I had to go. Another time. You see, it's not doing something at some point, but doing the right thing at the right time. It's what is important. I did something which was good, but it wasn't the right thing to do at the right time. Even if it was the right thing to do, it wasn't the right time simply because I had to go and visit my brother. And this went on for about 2, 3, probably 4 years. Then one day I said, another time I'm going to visit my brother. And I said in my mind, but I never bought my ticket. You know, when you want to travel in the summer, the airlines probably know that you are desperate, so they will have to fleece you. So you have to buy it a little bit early. I said, well, I'll wait till January. And January came, and I said, another time. British Airways sometimes do sales at the end of January and February. And sometimes, I mean, KLM and some of those airlines. So I said, the time came, and I look at it, and I'm thinking the price is going up a little bit. I said, another time. And summer came. We had a fantastic, children's activity at VBS. We had amazing time. The place was buzzing. I was so excited, lying on the floor for the kids, and they coming to punch me and everything. I was so excited. I felt so energized. Hey, that is good, you know. This church is a good place. Amen. Amen. We change lives and we help families. And I was going home all excited about it. Sunday came, I preached my heart out like I'm doing, and I was going home all pumped up. It's as if I've met God. I would say, whoa, this is cool, man. I was so excited. And then I went home. Before I could have something to eat, I got a phone call from one of my cousins. And he said, your brother died of massive heart attack. I'm thinking, another time. Guys, somebody who was talking about money, and even money was put in my hand, I didn't use it. Someone who was complaining about, oh, I don't have time. I have all this accounting and corporate report to provide. I produce. I can't do it. I had every excuse not to do it. And yet when it happens, I found the money. With all my siblings, we're a big family, you know. We all moved to Oklahoma City, a long journey. And we went, and I had to take the funeral. And I did the preaching, a powerful sermon. The place was so full, people couldn't even go in because he was a good guy. But whether he had Jesus, I did not know. Because the last time I spoke to him about Jesus, he said, oh, you people from this little country, you always talk about God. That is Britain. He says, we can't fit your country in the whole of Oklahoma, and it will not even make it full. She believed in America. He said, God bless America, my home, sweet home. I remember these words in my ears time and time again when he was saying that. Now I remember at the airport, I was so upset about it, so I was just going away. That was when he was alive. And he pulled me back and said, you know what? Why are you rushing away? Hang around with me. You never know, you may never see me again. I'm thinking, what's he talking about? I just ignored him anyway. So I went, and when I went, they said, they're not calling you, come back. So when I came back, he thought he would go home. He was still standing there. And he said, I told you. That was about 10, 15 minutes. And I was thinking, God, you know, what are you telling me? But then soon they called us out. So I couldn't talk to him. And now we went and I had to bury him. Then I had to preach. Then I had to talk. And my heart was aching. And these words came out of my mouth. And I said, I love my brother. But I don't know where he's going. I wish I could have done different so that me and him will meet again. And after the preaching, I came out of the church and I got to the coffin. I just broke down, the preacher, crying like a baby. It was incredible. And for 10 years, I couldn't forgive myself of that opportunity of ministry that I allow another time, procrastination, to take it away from me. So today, what is God putting on your heart to do for somebody? Maybe God is saying, go and pray for somebody. Maybe God is saying, go and visit somebody. Maybe God is saying that, you know what, come along somebody and listen to the story that they've got to tell you so you can do something about it. But you are saying, another time. I'll pick one more bit about the subject of our day. So turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 24, verse 22 to 27. And I'll read. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, come down, I will make a decision on your case, Paul. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for a visit for him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he was also hoping that money would be given to him. It looks like that person comes from Ghana. They want bribe. Oh, Nigeria, good. It's even better. If you come from Nigeria, bribe is part of the equation. And Ghana is the next equation. So meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor and left Paul bound in prison. Now, we want to think about this story that I don't want to live in the next 10 years suffering, so I've asked God for forgiveness and I moved on. But then, let's talk about this. Another time we robbed Felix and his wife Drusilla the opportunity for salvation. Now, after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders and a certain smooth talker. Some of you are smooth talkers. They got an orator to come and speak for them to bring charges against Paul. They said he was a plague in the society. A plague means he's a disease, bad disease in society. That means he's got to be gotten rid of. He was creating dissension and causing commotion in the whole world. He was a ringleader of some occult, they said. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him, he began to speak about his faith. But when Felix heard this, having more accurate, that means Paul took time to explain to them the way of salvation. That God loves us. He gave us Jesus Christ. We mess it up. And we chose our own way. And Jesus Christ wants us to come back to him so we can renew our relationship with him, but we chose not to. But God went to the cross through Jesus Christ so he can bring us back to him. So if we accept him, we are in the right place. We are in the place of God. He has explained to him a more accurate way. And what happened? Felix did not listen. He said, "Oh, wait for now, another time. Let me bring the soldier, the army captain, because there's an allegation that he beat you up." And he knew that he hasn't beaten him. "Let me wait for the army captain to come first." The army captain came. And this time, "Let's wait till my wife comes with me." And the wife came in all her pomp. Because if you go to the previous chapter, it will tell you all about her. With all her pomp, and he sat on his judgment seat. And when Paul argued, he said, "You know what? I need to tell you about righteousness. I need to tell you about self-control. I need to tell you about temperance. I need to tell you about judgment to come." And when he said this, it hit the heart of Felix that he was afraid, because he had taken somebody's wife to be his wife. He killed his brother for his brother's wife. And the wife herself came from a family that all bad news is a common thing that they have. So Paul is saying, "I tell you what, you have to do what is right. There is a way that seems right to God, but the end thereof is judgment. When you're doing something that you know it is wrong, it is wrong." That's what he was saying. And his heart was touched. His heart was cut. And was saying, "Sometimes you lack self-control. And I tell you that you are a judge, so you understand. You can put people in prison and punish them. But a judge is coming who is bigger than you. And that judge, if you do not accept him as your Lord and Savior, he will put you in prison. This time not for tomorrow, not for a year, not for two, but forever." He got scared. And what did he say? "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call you another time." Another time. Paul is saying salvation is now. And I'll bring these things up on the screen so that you can see where I'm coming from. You see, many people had their lives, dreams lost in procrastination. When you read Proverbs chapter 21, it tells you that you don't know tomorrow may never come because you don't know what tomorrow has for you. Postponing things to do for another time assumes a period of time for which you have no control over. You assume something, the period is going to be there like you want it. You don't know what is going to happen. And in fact, James says that, look, tomorrow is like a vapor. It comes today, the sun comes up, and it vanishes away. So another time is like that. You don't know whether the vapor is going to be there for you to see it. The sun might come up and it vanishes. So why will you wait until tomorrow before you do what you have to do? Another time is like vapor that evaporates. So don't put your hope on something that it is not tangible, that can evaporate so easily. There are defining moments that might not be there anymore. When God brings to us or bring us to a place of conviction, that is the point we must respond. If you look at Felix, Paul preached. He came to a point, he knows what? He said, I have to give my life to Jesus because I understand exactly what he's saying. But you know what? Another time. And the Bible tells us time and time again, I've just thrown some Bible verses for you to look at. Now let us not make haste and not delay. Or let us make haste and not delay and rush to the throne room of God so that we can keep his commandment and for his message to be shown upon us. Do you know that Felix spent 2 years talking to Paul subsequently? The same Paul, and nothing happened. It was just that moment that he had to make a decision, but he did not do it. And if you are sitting here, there might be only today that you have to take some serious decision in your life, and you are procrastinating, you are delaying, you are saying another time, and that time will never come, because the time that you have strong conviction is the time that you have to do something about it. If you don't do it tomorrow, you will not have that same strong conviction, and life feels 2 years will come and that will happen. And if you are here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, death will come upon you one day. Are you ready for it? Do you know where you are going? Are you sure about that? At least I am sure. I know one person who is sure. Douglas is 88, going to 89, and I'm with him in his room, and he keep on saying, I am happy. I am happy. I know where I'm going. And I'm thinking, God, you know what, when I reach your age and I have to die, I wish I can say the same thing. And I hope I will be able to. And I know I will be able to. So do you know? Do you know this Jesus? If you don't know this Jesus, one day he will bring judgment upon you. And that judgment is just like Felix's time. He was able to put Paul in prison for 2 years. But God is going to put you in the kingdom of hell forever. Do you know where you are going? That is the challenge. Hey, another time. God bless you.